Today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We've already made quite a bit of headway into this sugya. Basically, what we've been discussing is what were originally two major approaches to the Mishnah, which was the machlokes that we had with Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, regarding the question of what to do with the Shtar Chov, the difference whether it had Achrayut Nechassim or not, according to Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbanu, it made no difference whether it had Achrayut Nechassim. And basically, we had two approaches, one of which was talking about that the Chayav was not Modeh, and Rabbi Meir allows you to give it back because it's only going to be used as a perfume stopper anyway. And according to the Chachomim, you don't give it back under any circumstances, and you would be Goyveh. Therefore, even though it doesn't have the Achrayut Nechassim, as we're going to see later, what would happen in the event that he was made, then there would be no problem. If he was made, you could collect even from Lekuchot, which would mean that there's no chashash of Piraon, which could have led to also a chashash of conspiracy against the Lekuchot. That was one approach. We discovered that approach was wrong. It was the approach of Shmuel, and it was the approach of Rabbi Elazar, and we showed absolutely that it was not the case. And in fact, Rabbi Meir says openly that contract can be used to collect, even though it does not have Achrayut Nechassim, it can be used to collect from the chasim that are not Meshubadim. Therefore, it's got to be talking about the Chayav is Modeh. The reason that we don't collect if we have Achrayut Nechassim is because we are indeed worried about Piraon. And possibly, I mean, of course, that's a question which was an earlier machlokas between Abai and Rabasi, but possibly for conspiracy as well. Okay, this is where we were up to, and the Gemara showed that we have three issues, essentially all interrelated, in which we called Rabbi Elazar wrong on one issue, because it was one basic issue. The fact that he had decided that the interpretation of the Mishnah was a case where Ein Chayav Modeh forced him to conclude that according to Rabbi Meir, the contract is valueless, because otherwise why can we return it if Ein Chayav Modeh? And furthermore, led to the opposite understanding that if the Chayav would be Modeh, then in fact there would be no problem and that there was no Chashash of Piraon. He's wrong in all three things, which are boiled down to one thing. It was that description of the Machloket of Ein Chayav Modeh that forced him to the other two pieces, which is that we're not Chayash for Kinunya and Piraon, and that the contract is violent, so leave it to Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Shmuel, and this is where we're up to the second, the third line, to Yufta de Shmuel, Betarkin. There's two elements in which Shmuel is wrong. One of them, of course, is exactly as Rabbi Elazar. I mean, he agreed with Rabbi Elazar, but, I mean, he, to boil it down to that one piece, he said, Shmuel, as did Rabbi Elazar, that Mukim Atit Misha in Chayav Modeh, which led to the other two questions. So he said the Mishnah was talking about that the Chayav was not Modeh. That's clearly wrong. Rabbi Meir himself said that it's wrong. But there was something else that he was wrong about, and that was this. We haven't seen that yet. Chana, yeah, we keep referring to it, that we see clearly, according to Shmuel, we're not Chayesh Lepiron. Here's where he said it. The Omar Shmuel Matzah Shtareak Na'ah Bishuk Yachzir Lebalim. So if you have a shtar that shows that there's been a credit line that's open, then you can give it back to the Baalim, even though Lamaisa, that will allow the tiruf from the Kuchot, but if the guy has opened the credit line, Lo Chashinan Lepiron. So here it says, we are not afraid. So even if the Chayav is not Modeh, there is no Chashash of Piraon, because again, Shmuel Shita is that if it had been Nifra, he would have torn it up or stamped it void on the spot. Therefore, give it back to the guy from whom it obviously fell, who is the lender. And in that case, being as it's a Shtar Hakna'ah, there's no problem anyway of the dating issues, because it actually had opened a credit line. So why not give it back to him? Now that shows that according to Shmuel, there's no chashash of Piraon Kol Shekein. I mean, here we're talking about a case where the love is not Modeh. Okay, so and we say the opposite. So it's clear to Yufta. Why? Because the Ketani Hacha, here it says, Afa fi sheshneihem modim, it says in his brayta. Both guys agree. Still lo yachzir. Lo lezeh v'lo lezeh, because we are afraid of conspiracies, right? So Alma Chashina and the Piraon, and that it fell, and that, but it had already been paid. So Koshkin Hakam, and Shmuel's talking about a case where the guy doesn't even admit it. Obviously we're not going to give it back to be recollected, because we're Chayesh the Piraon anyway. So we're afraid, and that means Shmuel's completely wrong. Shmuel says we're never worried about that. How could somebody drop a contract without tearing it first? So Shmuel was wrong in that issue as well of Chashina and the Piraon. Anyway, getting back now to the Rabbanan, and as I promised you, we're going to explain the sheet of the Rabbanan, even though we've been assuming it all along. The reason that the Rabbanan say that it makes no nafkamina whether you have the achrayut nechasim or you don't, it's always going to be usable to collect shelo kedin if you're worried about shelo kedin. The Rabbanan savre achrayut ta'ut soferu, that if it doesn't appear, then it is there anyway. Because we take for granted that even if someone mistakenly wrote up a contract believing that he's not supposed to say that there is a lien on all of his property for the repayment of the loan, that the guy apparently didn't want to give a lien, and nonetheless the lender was lending, and that was a mistake. The lender would never have lent it without a lien, and once there's a contract being written up, obviously it's usable to collect against the property because it's yadua, and the lakuach is protected, and that's all that's necessary for us to know. So that means if it doesn't appear, it makes no difference. It's the sofer who made the mistake, but it does not imply the transaction is any different.
If he wanted you to write it.
We don't say if he wanted you to write it, he would have told you.
I'm saying, and if a person really wants to do it,
that then I'll have to say it. Right. I'll have to say that to Farish. Omar le Rava bar Itai, le Ravidi bar Ovin. I mean, so it appears, in other words, he's saying, Shmuel, the dot of the Rabbim over here, isn't there? Undoubtedly, that's not how he's paskening. That Akrayut is ta'ut sofer. But the problem is, Omar Shmuel says, as a rule, that Shevach, Shefer, Veshibud, Tzorech Limale, that in a case where you are selling a piece of property. Now, there's a standard form for guaranteeing property. So the standard form says you will have a shibud against my property to collect in the event that this property is taken away from you, and really there were liens against it. I'm going to cover that with a lien against other property. Furthermore, I'm going to cover it even for shevach. So even if you make investments, you put in a new sprinkler system, plant trees, whatever it is, I'll pay you back for that too. And it's going to come out of the best, shevach. I'm not going to give you a piece of garbage. I'm giving you a mortgage on my best stuff. To write any of those three things, tzorech limalech, you need to ask. Which means that if you're a sofer, you cannot assume that the shtar of a mekach includes, by definition, a shibud on the property to cover a previous debt that was going to be taken out of it, leaving the buyer high and dry. Because if you're not providing him achrayut, so what in the world where is he going to collect from? So here, Shmuel contradicts himself. Before he said achrayut to a sofer, nobody would leave out achrayut from a contract. And here he's saying, well, if you're a sofer, the guy doesn't tell you, you can't write it. You have to ask him. So that means that achrayut is not a tot sofer. It has to be defined by the person who's writing the contract. Shall we say that lema mandi amar ha lo amar ha? That whoever quoted Shmuel as saying that the idea of a year of the Rabbanan is achrayut tot sofer clearly does not agree that Shmuel ever said what Ravidi bar Ovin claimed he said, and vice versa? Of course not. Well, Kasha is having a problem over here. The case that Shmuel was referring to about the Rabbanan was referring to a bond, not a bill of sale. So over there, the Svara is, Kan b'shtar halva'ah, as far as the loyav inish zuzi b'chdi. Why would somebody make an unsecured loan when the guy has property? I mean, so it doesn't make any sense. Therefore, we can assume, say the Rabbanan, that obviously if he wrote up a contract, he meant that it be a registered lien, not just a registered loan. Mashenke, when you talk about Mekach Umemker, people take chances all the time with Mekach Umemker. Tovid Inish Dezavin Arli Yume. Look, somebody, it happens sometimes, people make poor due diligence, and they end up buying something for a day before the courts get it from them. But that happens. They believe that they know who the owner is, and they take their chances. Ki Agide Avua Bar E, there was actually a mice like this that Shmuel had to paskin. Avua Bar Idi made the mistake of dealing with family. Always a problem. So Zovin Alitha Mi'ati went and bought a second story of a house from his sister. Oy vavoy. Didn't take much time. Till Ata Balkov and Tarfa Mine comes along. Somebody that his sister owed money to had a lien against the house. And he takes away his aliyah. So he comes to sue his sister, to Mar Shmuel. So Ata Lakami to Mar Shmuel. Omaleso Shmuel says to him, look, Katvalacha Achrayut, I'm assuming that you're here because you have a contract, bill of sale, that says that you can sue it. He says, no. Omalei, well, if that's the case, shalom. Zil l'shalma, you can go in peace, but you can forget about this suit. What? He says, Va'amar with Yom Achrayut to Tzoferu. I was sure that you would say that even though it didn't write in the bill of sale that I have a lien, but of course I do, because it's your shita. No. The point is that nobody's going to give his money away for an unsecured loan when property is sitting there. Yes, over there I agree it's tot sofer, but b'shtoy mekach u'memka, never, because you are an object lesson. Ovid inish tezavin ar liyume. So you enjoyed your property for the night. Yeah. Omer Abaye. This Abaye's ma'amar over here we've had a number of times before, very recently. So Omer Abaye, Reuven shemachar sadeh shima'on ba'achrayut, says Abaye, if Reuven sells a field to sadeh, to Shimon, and he sells it with Achrayut. And he comes along now, the Balchov of Reuven, and he's taking it away. Now, the question over here is that Reuven wants to go to court against this Balchov. And over there, he's got a little bit of a problem, because you'll say, I mean, does it really matter who goes to court? I mean, he can give all of the papers that he has and everything. He could give to the buyer and let the buyer go to court. So what do you care who goes to court? No, it makes a big difference, because suppose you have witnesses that are related to the buyer, the Shimon. Now the Balakovs are about, I mean, those witnesses aren't kosher witnesses. So the Reuven, they're not witnesses. They're related to me. This is my business. It's not his business. So the din is that indeed he can take the lender to court. V'lomotzi Omar, like the lender can't say to him, you're out of this picture. I don't know anything.
Lender.
A Balakov of Reuven. So the lender cannot say to Reuven, lav bal dvorim didiyat. I don't know you. You're out of this already. I have a paper here giving me rights to this field. Get out of the way, buddy. So you could say no, because Domarle, the mafaktamine. Look, that's all very nice theoretically, but if you get this field away from him, alai didi hadar, it's gone right around back to me, and therefore I'm suing you. Igeri amre.
Assuming he has a claim.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But otherwise, I'm saying if he didn't have that, he didn't have the problem, he could have given it over to the other guy anyways. Tosafot says, what difference does it make? I mean, who you call the Baal Din. But there are differences. Now, the way that we originally said Abaye is that it's only because he has a taina, in the end, I'm going to have to pay, because he's going to come back to me for his money back. But the truth is that there's another lashon that says, even if he doesn't have that taina, because he sold the field without achrayut, he could still take Reuven to court to prevent him from getting the field. Don't say it's none of my business. It is my business. It reflects very badly on me that I sold a field that somebody else now was able to get away from him, and I have tainas that will show you can't get away from him. So therefore you'll say, well, what financial differences does it make to you? That's not the issue. I don't need to prove a financial loss. I'm clearly involved because I was the seller. Furthermore, V'omer Abaye, Reuven shemachar sadeh l'Shimon shelo ba'achrayut. In a case where there was no achrayut to be able to get his money back afterwards, v'yatzu aleha asikin, and now there's a suit being brought against it that there's a lien to somebody else that was previous. So ad shelo hichzik ba, if he never made a chazaka on it, yochol lachzor bo, he can change his mind. But the Riva understands that the case over here is he made a kinyan, he made a kosher kinyan on the karka, maybe a chalipin. He did not give money yet. And here we're saying if he wasn't marzikit, and the Riva makes a number of diyukim. Here are his diyukim. Here it says, Achelo yechzikva yochol lachzorba, mir shechzikva eno yochol lachzorba. Once he was marzik in it, he can't be chozer. First, let me tell you this pshat, because otherwise it's not. And then we'll see why he has to say this pshat. He learns that it's talking about that the guy still has the money, because if he gave the money, karkas nikneh bekesev, and it's over. What do you tell me? He has to go make a chazak. He learns further that the question over here is not a normal chazakah, but a chazakah that shows smichut da'at for the original kinyan that he made, which was not a kinyan chazakah. And the reason is, because the Gemara is going to say that when it says chazakah, it doesn't mean chazakah. It means taking a tour around the property. So in other words, if let's say that he did something, he signed on something, but it wasn't a bill of sale to be kind of this beautiful ranch, and you know, they used to...
Beachfront property.
No, the classic land offers. So it's understood that until he comes and sees it, that there was no smichus das. If, however, that's the way we're understanding, if there was achrayut, so then he could say, look, I'm not giving you the money because you have to give it back. So what's the point of my handing the money over to you and then having to sue you for me to pay me back? So over there, it really doesn't matter, because as long as I have the money, it doesn't make sense for me to pay you, even if I was moxic in the car, because they're going to be taking it away from me. That's how this lashon learns. Once he's moxic in it, since there was no achrayut, so now he can tell him, the seller can tell him, look, you didn't ask for achrayut, Chayata de Kitre Savarta Vekibalta. Basically, you have bought a lovely box with another box inside of that, and it just keeps going down. And now you're saying, well, why wasn't there anything in the inside box? Well, you know, you take your chances when you buy something without achrayut. So, I mean, it's an equivalent case. It means it's tied full of knots. So here you got a whole basket full of knots. Enjoy them. No, because that's the point of saying the savarta. Since you didn't ask for any type of guarantee, it meant you're buying this because you were ready to take a chance. So then you can't tie make achtot. Obviously, you got a good deal. So obviously, you wanted to take that chance. But to come along now at the time, that's what taking chances are all about.
If it's too good to be true.
Exactly. So don't come back and tie it to me.
He's saying it's not a
Mecca food. He
knew it was going to be taken away from the buyer at some point.
Well, he knew possible.
He knew he's taking a chance.
No.
So if you're buying...
The seller knows this guy's going to lose his land in a matter of 2 days. So if he's going to pay me $200,000,
right.
It's still not a Mecca food.
That's right. Why would it be a Mecca food? That's for sure it's not. What does the seller's idea have to do with it being a Mecca food? Yeah. Now others... Now, me'ematai avi chazaka. Now this too is part of the Rivaz Svara. Because the Riva points out, we never ask that question. We always use the word chazaka, and we assume everybody knows what the din of chazaka and a karka. Why all of a sudden are we saying me'ema dayavi chazaka? And now take a look at what a weird chazaka it says. Instead of the typical definition of chazaka, which is godarba or na'al sadelet, instead it's got this weird chazaka called mechidayish amatzre. When you take a walk around the borders of the property. So he says, so obviously we're talking about a whole different issue over here. We're talking about smichut dat, not a kinyan of chazaka. He still has his money, and the issue over here is whether he's got to pay. The ikade amre, others say, the truth is, even when he says to the guy, look, I have a guarantee from you. There's people suing this and go, I don't want them, this is crazy. They're going to take the property away. I got to go after you and try to get the money from you. I have the money in my pocket. I'm going to give it to you and I spend 6 months getting it back from you. I'm not giving it to you. So others say, even so, you have to pay. Afilu b'achrayut nami. Why? Because the guy can say, look, achvi tarpacha v'ashalem lecha. You bring me the court document that says that this fellow who is suing you has walked away with your property, and I'll pay you. You know how many phonies there are out there bringing suits that, like, I'm not scared of this guy. I've taken care of him dozens of times. He's not going to get the property. You're worried about it. So because of that, I have to give you back your money. Get out of here. I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen. Something happens, I'll pay you back. But don't come and say, well, I don't know. I don't want to. There's no I don't know. It's your field. Itzma. Now, this is a little bit more of a, here we've got the Brooklyn Bridge situation. It's not that there was a previous existing lien. He didn't even own the piece of property. So now, Rav Amar Yeshlo Ma'ot VeYeshlo Sheva. Now, until now, we've been discussing the situation with a sold property. And over there, we said that you could come back, and if there's a guarantee, so then you have your Sheva. Shmuel says, in that case, you only have Ma'ot. You do not have Sheva. Now, Rav Huna asks like this, and the reason that he asks is because this will define what the logic of Shmuel's statement was. How about if you said beferish in the document of sale that you will owe me, if it turns out that you don't own the property, you will owe me any investments that I put into the property, I'll have to pay it back. So what then? I mean, is what Shmuel saying is, time of the Shmuel, is mishum delo piresh shvacha? In other words, Shmuel is saying like this. It's true that he sold something that he had no right at all to sell, but nonetheless, without defining shevach, it's no different than selling something that had a lien on it, that somebody took from you. If you don't define it, we don't say it's ta'ut sofer. Is that what he's saying? Whereas Rav is saying, no, look, I mean, that's cheating, it's fraud. I mean, obviously you have to cover all the costs associated with fraud. Or is what Shmuel is saying something much worse, which would cover even a case where you're a pirish. Because in this case, v'alcha pirish, huh? Odilma, Taimon is Shmuel, he's saying like this. It turned out there never was a sale. The whole thing was a fake. There was no sale. So what happens? Essentially, you gave him money. You gave him $100,000. And the next week, you're coming back to get your money back because it turned out that the guy didn't own the Brooklyn Bridge, surprisingly. Now, how much money are you taking back? $110,000. Why are you taking back $110,000? There was no sale. So then it's mechzik and ribit. Because basically all that's happened over here is you're getting more money because you let that money sit in his hands. You gave him $100,000, and now you're gonna end up getting back $110,000 from him. He put up these beautiful new lights on the bridge. Yeah, he paid
the bridge. What does the seller say? The seller, I'm selling you this, but in case it's not mine, then I'll pay you for this.
Well, I'm covering you the shevach like I would for any other case. Like,
well, normal cases, you sell it, that's the end of your game.
No, not true. Normal cases, if there turns out to be a lien against it. So Alachas Kama Kama, if it ain't mine. Maybe what Shmuel is saying, it was there is no contract because there is no land and there is no sale. So this whole thing is ridiculous. What are you making this tzedakah for? All that it boils down to is you were goyrim, okay, but now you're paying not really for nezek. So it turns out that it looks exactly like you're paying him ribit. So given the let lekarka mirzik ribit. So which way is it? Be'ez Ravuna. Amalei, yeah, but actually maybe no, or actually maybe I don't know. Rafia Biyade, really, he just couldn't give a clear answer, Ravuna. Until Itmar, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, that actually Rav Nachman said, that what Shmuel said is, Ma'ot Yeshlo Shevach Eno Af Alpi Shapirei Shrot HaShevach. So here we have it straight from the source. Even though he said, Beferush, I will pay you for any investments that you make. My timer, Kivan de Karka Eno. Look, since he didn't own anything, all that we have over here is someone who gave you money to play with. That's called a loan. So it was schar ma'otav. That's all that he's getting back. And therefore, it's schar ma'otav. Omeid v'notel. He can't take rebit on that schar ma'ot. Eight fei revel or not.
If it would have been
really a sale.
The price that somebody else takes, then he would get the shit.
Then there's no problem.
There was no sale.
How can you say that? Read. Ein motzi'in le'achilat peirot. Now, here we're going to have a list of all various things that you're not able to take out of nechasim meshubadim. Meaning, if somebody owes you any of these things, if he has money or property, he pays you. If he already sold the property that you thought you were going to be able to collect from, you can't collect out of that property. That's called lohotzi. Okay. So, ein motzi'in le'achilat peirot, whatever that means, we'll see. Well, le'shevach karkaot, which we'll see. L'mazonei shava banot, we know that. Mazonei shava banot is that a person, as one of the Tanaya Ketuva, which is automatic, even if you don't write it, that you guarantee that a woman that marries you will be supported after death, as long as she's living in the home, and that any of the daughters that you had with her will be also supported and with all of the other requirements. Now, the reason you can't collect that the way you would collect a ketuvah, the way you would normally collect the ketuvah from a shubadim, is because there's no way to put a value on it. I mean, this almana may end up living till she's 106, and meanwhile the money's coming out of your property. I mean, that's crazy. You can't know, you can't pretend, and you're not an insurance company. So, Mimela, the things that have a set value, yes, that you could collect from a lien. But a lien for something that has no defined value in advance, how is a buyer supposed to protect himself? So, therefore, you can never collect that out of a lien. And all of that is Mimnei Tikkun Olam, obviously. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't be Mikra Adin. But as part of our takana, which we did a lot of takanas about liens and contracts, part of our takana is to protect buyers in order to allow business to proceed as usual. This is one of the tikkun olams. So, now I'm asking you, says Rava, does it say over here that you do not collect from the chasim mishubadim? Yes. But do you, yes, collect from the chasim b'nei chorin? Yes. Are we agreed on that? Now we can proceed. Okay. So it says over here, mimishabdi udalo mafkinan, habi b'nei chorin mafkinan. Fine. Now, what is the case? Shevach karkaot. Now I ask you, what is meant by shevach karkaot? Now, I say there's only one case it could mean, my friend, and that is, and you're going to see why I'm saying it's the only case it could mean. My love, belokeach migazlan. So the case over here is, a guy went ahead, bought something now from a gazlan, turns out it wasn't his, ends up losing his property. When he goes back and takes the value of any investments that he put in this property out of the gazlan's hide, he can only take it back from things that are now in the rishus of the gazlan and not something that he sold yesterday. Yeah, fine. I understand that. Because how is anybody supposed to know how much he's going to invest in the Brooklyn Bridge? It's not my problem. Reuven sells Shimon the Brooklyn Bridge. And now Shimon goes ahead and paints the bridge. Now come along the cops and give him the sad news. Okay, so now Shimon goes back to Reuven. I want my money back, and I want my money for painting back. And you had another field here. I'll take it out of that field. Oh, says Reuven, I did have a field, but I sold that field. So now, when did you sell that field? Just yesterday. Isn't that amazing? Right after selling you the Brooklyn Bridge. Okay. So now what it's saying over here is you can collect the value of the Brooklyn Bridge out of the field, but you can't collect the paint. That's what it's saying. But according to you, you can't even expect him to pay you for the paint because it's Mechzika Ribit. Now here it's saying clearly that it's not Mechzika Ribit. Now what are you going to do with that? All right, let's just see that inside. So my love, Belokeach Migazlan. Says Reb Nachman, what kind of crazy case is that? What do you mean, Belokeach Migazlan? I mean, why can't it be a normal case where somebody buys a field and there was a Baal Chov and now the Baal Chov? I'm really sorry for all you guys who don't have a video hookup here to watch tonight's episode of Seinfeld. But everybody is in character, let's put it that way. All right. So, I mean, is this the case that comes to mind when you read this? Is it the case that comes to mind that a guy, Reuven, sold Shimon a field that he owned perfectly well, and then it turned out that he didn't have enough money to cover a debt, and somebody he owed money to went and came and collected the field? Why in the world would you say that it's talking about this crazy case that he brought the Brooklyn Bridge? So, no, be Baal Chov, of course. I knew you would say that. But you see, that can't work, because Iba Baal Chov, Eim Aresha, look at the beginning, what does it say? Ein Motzi'in L'Achilat Peirot. Aha. The point is that a Baal Chov wouldn't have been able to take the Peirot in the first place. Aha. Because if there's Peirot that are there on that property, and somebody's coming out to be go over the property, the buyer says, excuse me? Why? I have a lien against property. Really? Do you have a lien against the Peirot that are growing in the property? No? Well, excuse me. Wait till we get the Peirot off, and then you take it. So obviously, it cannot be talking about a Baal Chov, because then he would never have been able to take the Peirot. The only case where somebody could walk off with your Peirot is where the whole field didn't belong to you. It's not really as okay as I'm making it sound. Because, I mean, if you don't think that the Gazan has Shevach, why in the world does the Gazan have Peirot? It's the same argument. Okay, so here we'll have to say that it's talking... We're going to have to talk about a case, as we'll see, with the Gazlan, that he stole originally karka with Peirot. And now they ended up growing more, whatever the case may be. We'll talk about it more later. But let's assume for a moment there's a way we can justify getting money out of the Gazlan for Peirot, but we will not be able to justify Shevach, which by definition means added value, not value that might have been there initially. Okay, so now, Reb Nachman, don't try to give me this. And therefore, forget about that, okay? So look at the Reisha. Ein motzin l'achilat perot. Iba Baal Chov. Baal Chov doesn't get perot. V'mashmo. Baal Chov govet hasheva. A Baal Chov can take away your sprinkler system, but he can't take away the perot that have grown and are now sitting there waiting for harvest. That he cannot take. Shevach in ava perot lo. Therefore, we're left with the unavoidable conclusion that the case in the Braita of the Peirot was got to be referring to a Gazlan, and the case was Gozov and Nigzal. So now if the opening case of Peirot is Gozov and Nigzal, the continuing case of Visheva is also Gozov and Nigzal, which of course, according to you, can't happen because a Gazlan is never chayev to pay Shevach because it's Mechzika Ribit. So now I have conclusively shown that you're wrong, and that a Gazan does pay back Sheva. What are we going to do with that? Umirashim goes of an exile, Sevenami goes of an exile. Eh, says Reb Nachman, I'm not impressed. Me, the irony of that, you call a proof. Why can't it be Hakadita, Hakadita? The case, indeed, the opening case, it's just saying, it's giving you a list of chiyuvim, for heaven's sakes. I'm talking about how these chiyuvim came to be. I mean, obviously, what are we talking about? The mezonot ha'isha, the panasat ha'banot. I mean, each case is a different case. Why is it the case of the peirot, a case of an igza, and the case of the shevach, a case of a Baal Chov? Like I'm saying, b'nei chinami. There is no case of shevach in the case of an igza. What's so terrible about that? The ha'kedite, v'ha'kedite. No, says the Gemara. That doesn't work either. Because the truth is, v'holo tanihach. There is a braita that actually comes to define the Mishnah of Ein Motzin L'Achilat Peirot. Here's what it says. L'sheva karkaot ketzad. What do we mean when we say that we don't collect from sheva karkaot from the kasim mishubadim? Let me tell you. Hare shegazal sadeh michavero, v'arei yotza mitachat yado, kishu goveh goveh takeren, minachasim mishubadim, v'sheva goveh minachasim b'nei chorim. Now, so here we're talking about a guy stole a field. Now, it doesn't say that he sold the field. Okay, true. It doesn't say that he stole the field. But, I mean, they sold the field. But, I mean, let's use our brains, okay? It says over here, if the field is being yotzi mitachas yodo, when he collects the keren from the chasim mishubadim and the shevach only from b'nei charin. When who collects? Oh, you mean when the goslin is very upset. What? How dare you take away that field? I stole it fair and square. I guess that's how you're understanding. Absolutely. So that can't possibly be what it means. I mean, echidami, ilene kiniktani, what? It means what it's saying over here? The goslin is coming to collect the keren from exactly who? Who is he coming to collect the keren from? I mean, clearly it's assuming that the reader has enough sense to be able to put in the words in which allow this to make some sense. Elalav, it's talking about he was gozel asada. How does he come now to discuss keren? He must have sold it. So he was mochra lachar, which is exactly the case we're talking about. That guy, Shimon, he went ahead and he was ishbicha. No. And it says over here that when you're coming along and you're collecting, that poor guy who was the buyer is coming along to collect from the gazlan. He can only collect his shevach. Do you hear that? His shevach, which according to you doesn't exist because it's repeat, can only collect his shevach from the chasim b'nei chorim. But he does collect it. He doesn't collect it from mishubanim. Omar Leis, Rav Nachman says, well, it's an impressive argument, but, I mean, the fact is, the only way you got to this argument was by proving to me that it can't mean what it says. So, well, why don't we just go all the way? It can't mean what it says about Gazela either. It's probably talking about a mocher instead of a gazlan. I mean, anyway, you're giving me this whole Bava Maisa. So, lafti rutzika mitaratzta. You just explained it away. So why not keep explaining it away so that I can be happy too? So Tiritzanami, Balchov, instead of saying it's talking about a Gazan, say it's talking about a Balchov, then we can all be happy and have a beer. Tashma. Okay, so let's see, there's another bright, okay? You're going to be able to play these little games with me forever. Tashma, lachilat peirot ketzat. And here's the other part of the bright. So that's defining the first part of the Mishnah, which was peirot. So lachilat peirot ketzat. Hare, shegazal sadeh michavero, v'hare yotza mitachat yado, kishu goveh goveh ta keren minechasim mishubadim, uperot goveh minechasim b'nei chorim. Now, let me ask you about this case too. So, echidami. Ilemi kiriktani, I mean, obviously what it's saying is a joke, right? The goslin is now being toveya, the money for the field that they recovered from him when the cops came. You can't take that field, you have to pay me first. Right. So, obviously, he can't be talking about the goslin, iman gafe. So, again, ela lav, kikon shegazal sadeh michavero, and machra la'acher, so he stole it, sold it to somebody else, v'yishbicha, and now we're talking about collecting the peirot. Says Rava, no, that is absolutely not the case. We are not talking about a case where there was anybody who was a lokeach whatsoever. It's a simple and direct case of a goslin and his victim, the nigzal. And that's all. We're talking about a nigzal who's collecting directly from the goslin. So you'll say, but then what does it mean when it says that there's keren? I mean, how can there be any keren? If there's keren, he wouldn't have the field. But it says over here that he collected the field. So what is he demanding in terms of keren? It must be referring to a buyer. No, I'll explain it, says Rava. Look. A guy has a field, it's full of this year's produce, and someone comes along, kicks him off the field, takes it over, and now eats the peirot. Not only that, digs up the entire field, searching for oil, so that what was previously a beautiful field is now a wasteland of a futile search. When the nigzal comes and collects his field, it isn't worth anything. So when it says, "Varei yotza mitachat yado," it's all very nice, that yes, he went to court and he has it, but he's still suing him for the value of the field. And so that's the Karen. Banigzal gvot Karen. So when he wants to take the Karen out of the ganavs, the gazlan's hide, so then govam nechasim mishubadim. He can take it out of even the chasim that was sold after the gezela. But when that same individual, the nigzal, comes, the gvot peirot, if he wants to get the peirot that the gazlan ate, then he can only be gove minechasim benechorin that the gazlan still has. And therefore, this has absolutely nothing to do with the case of Shmuel, who is referring to a case where there was a buyer, and the gazlan had sold it to a buyer. There's no buyer. He ate it himself. It's completely irrelevant to the case at hand. Well, Richie has persuaded me to wait it out. We'll continue tomorrow after having a nice, good rest with your machine hooked up, giving you some oxygen. Tiyufta de Shmuel Batarte, Choda, Karabi Elazar, Domukim Asisu Bishain Chayav Bode, and Choda, the Yomar Shmuel Motzer Shtarak Naba, Shur Gerzir Labaalim, the Lol Chashina Lepira on Tiyufta, because Diktoni Hoka Apopishinea Modim Lo Yarzir Lola Zevelo Laze, the Amma Chashina Lepira on, the Koshkin Hoka. The low mode, the low at all. For sure we should make Hashim Lepira on. Omer Shmuel. Let me talk now about the Rabbanan. We've all been talking about Rebbe Meir. My time in Rabbanan, Savri Achrayut Ta'ut Sofer. Omer Rabba Bariti Lerav Idi Barovin. How can that be? Mi Omer Shmuel, Omer Shmuel Shevach Shefer, and Shibud, Tzarek Limalek, to ask whether it should be part of a contract. Leima Mandi Omer Ha, Lo Omer Ha? No. Lo kasha kan bishtar alva'a de lo yoivin ish zizi bichti and kan bishtar emekach umemkar davinin ish de zovin arli yume kahidu avu abarui. He went ahead and zovin alita me'achte ata balchov torfum and ata lakavin amar Shmuel. Omalei, well, did she cut valach achrayut? Omalei lo, omalei im kain, have a good day. Omalei v'amaru li omar achrayut ut soferu. Omalei, I'm imi bishtar alva'a bishtar emekach umemkar, forget about it. Davinin ish zovin arli yume. Omra Abaye Reuven, Shemachar Sadera Shimon Ba'achrayut, Uba Ba'achov de Reuven, Vekatarach Lemine, Dinu Da'azel Reuven, Mishtoi Dinu Ba'ade, Velo Matzi Omerlei, who are you? I don't have to talk to you, Labadvarn Didiyat, the Omerlei, not true, the Mafaktimine Alai Didiyadar. Actually, there's some who say that Afila Shalom Ba'achrayut Nami, the Omerlei, Lo Nechali, the Lavid Shimon, Taromet Alai. Furthermore, Omra Abaye, Reuven, Shemachar Sadera Shimon, Shalom Ba'achrayut, ויצאו עליה עסיקין, עד שלא יחזיק בה, יכול לחזור בו. מי שיחזיק בה, אינו יכול לחזור בו. דיו אמר לה, look buddy, חייתה דקיטרי סברת, well, you made a great choice, וקיבלת. מהם אתה יאבי this חזקה, that we're referring to not normal חזקה, מחידה יש המצרי, ויקדה אמר אפילו באחריות נעמי. דיו אמר לה, look, you owe me money, don't tell me I'm going to have to pay it to you back anyway, so you're going to keep it. אך ותרפך ואשלם לך. You think it's going to be done so fast. Richie tried getting that guy off his roof and took him years. Itmar. Amokre sode l'chavero v'nimtze chene shelo. Rav amar yesh lo ma'od v'yesh lo shevach. Shmuel amar ma'od yesh lo. Shevach ein lo. Boy minem revunu. How about if pireish lo at ha'shevach ma'od? Is time of the Shmuel mishum shelo pireish v'acha? In which case, of course, ha'cha ha'pireish lo would be different. Odilma time of the Shmuel is a fundamental issue. Because kiven the letle karka, he said it never was a sale, so it's a mystery bid. Amalei, maybe, or maybe not, then again. Or Rafi Biyade. Say, Itmar, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Shmuel, Ma'ot Yeshlo, Shevach, Einlo, Afal Pisha, Piresh, Vata Shevach. My time at given the Karka, Einlo, obviously it's all a farce, and it's Charmo Tavo, Meit Venota. Eitve Rabbal Rav Nachman, Ein Motzi Nachilat Perot, Ola Shevach, Karka, Ot. So clearly, it's only a problem of me mishabdi with the lamavkina. And it says shevach karkaot. Now, the only shevach karkaot I can come up with over here is belokeach mi gazlan. Ma pitom, it's belokeach and then as a balchov came. Ah, iba balchov emeresha. Ein motzin lachilat perot. What achilat perot? If it's a balchov meat like perit? V'yomer Shmuel balchov govet ha-shevach. Shevachin, but perot not. Ela pshita, the only case is the goes of an exal. If the resh is talking about a goes of an exal, seifanami the goes of an exal. Big deal. Midi ayri. Hakarite, hakarite. Okay, but a lotaniach in the Braita that defines the Mishnah. L'sheva karkaot keitzad. Harei shegazal sadeh michaveiro. V'harei hi yotzah mitachat yado kishu goveh goveh ta keren menechasim mishubadim. V'sheva goveh menechasim menechorim. Now tell me what you think this really means. I mean, certainly it doesn't mean what it says. If you tell me, I mean, let me get a ketani. Gazlan miman govi. Elolav kegon shegazal sadeh michaveiro. It's leaving out the part that he was mokro la'acher v'ishbicha. Nu said Rav Nachman, okay, so love to roots to come at the rats to keep on being metarets. To reach Zami Bebalchov and not with a Gaza. Well, Tashma, the same bright explaining the ratio of the Mishnah says, Vachilat Perot Ketzad, Harisha Gazal Sadem Mechaverov, Hare Yotzami Tachad Yado, Keshu Gove Gove Takeren Menechasim Meshubadim, Uperot Gove Menechasim Menechorim. Now, obviously, it can't mean what it says. Echidami, Ilemegediktari, Gazlan, Mimigavi, Elalav, Kegonji Gazal Sodem Mechaverov, Machala Kevish Bicha, Omar Rav, and no. The perot over here are not shevach. They were there in the beginning. Achavayis kinen gon shegozal sodem michavero melaya perot. V'chavata perot, v'chavarbo, borot, shekinu maharot. So now, if the nigzal is coming, ligvot keren togoveh minachasim mishubadim. But nigzal ligvot perot, goveh minachasim. Benechorim, that's what it's talking about. Because that's the only thing that forced you into the whole business about Mechira and so on. It's the Nigzal. And the Soda being Yotzei means it was being Yotzei damaged and ruined and wrecked. That's the point.